Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your host, Matt Shook, and this is the episode for Friday, February 2nd. Happy Groundhog Day to everyone. And from bleak to Blake, what a week it has been for Pistons fans. You can follow me, your host, Matt Shook, on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Found us on the Locked On Pistons Twitter account as well, Locked On Pistons there. And follow us on Facebook. Give us a like on the page at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. We're going to be looking today back at the win on Thursday night against the Memphis Grizzlies, and look ahead to Saturday night against the Miami Heat as well. And we're going to take a look back at the Blake Griffin trade from Monday and see where this ranks in terms of the pantheon of significant Pistons trades over the years. But the Pistons got the 104-102 win on Thursday night in Blake Griffin's debut for the red, white, and blue. The team is now 24-26 in just one game out of the Eastern Conference playoffs behind Philadelphia. Wow, from Monday to Friday, when they were four games behind, nothing really to get excited about. What a difference this week has made. Blake Griffin, when I was thinking about it, that was probably his first time ever in the building at Little Caesars Arena, as the press conference was in the Palace of Auburn Hills yesterday. And Blake Griffin and the Clippers have not visited yet. They will be here next week without Blake Griffin, obviously. But the Blake Griffin being in Little Caesars Arena probably for the first time, that was an interesting little subplot. But he had 24 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 blocks, as noted on the telecast. The first player since Grant Hill in his 1994 NBA and Pistons debut to have at least 20 points and 10 rebounds in his first time as a Piston. By the way, I saw someone mention on Twitter throwing out the question that, is Blake Griffin now the biggest superstar on the Pistons since Isaiah Thomas? And I just think people forget how big of a deal Grant Hill was. The Sprite commercials, the co-rookie of the year, and just how much of a phenomenon he was, especially in that rookie season where he kind of took the league by storm. He led the NBA in all-star game voting in his rookie year in 1995, starting that game alongside Scottie Pippen, Shaquille O'Neal, Penny Hardaway, and Reggie Miller. And that was, I went back and did a deep dive of that. It's just kind of the kind of person I am. I go back and look at these kind of things. The all-star game voting from 1995. They went up against the Western Conference all-star starting five of Hakeem Olajuwon, Charles Barkley, Sean Kemp, and then it gets a little weird in the backcourt. Latrell Sprewell starting in the All-Star game. I know he put up huge numbers when he was with the Warriors scoring-wise, so maybe I shouldn't be so surprised. But the fifth one really surprised me, the Western Conference starters in 1995. And I think I might have a little bit of a skewed version of his NBA career, which is unfair because we both went to the same college. There's your clue. Thunder Dan Marley of the Phoenix Suns, once an All-Star game starter in 1995. Three-time All-Star, won a gold medal with the Summer Olympics in 1995, but also with the world, or the 1988, but then also the World Championships as well. So maybe I'm not giving Dan Marley's NBA career enough credit, as he was an All-Star game starter, which is something that surprised me when I saw that. Marley actually led the Western Conference guards in voting that year over rookie Jason Kidd, John Stockton, and Pistons assistant coach Tim Hardaway, who was third. He was a member of the Warriors at that time as well. But back to current events, just an outstanding game for Blake Griffin. The Pistons looked really good when he was on the court. He was a plus 23, which matched his jersey number. And the Pistons looked pretty bad when he was off the court, something that we'll be talking about today and as the show goes on throughout the next few weeks. But he drew the defense and got the entire Memphis Grizzlies team to pretty much commit to him, like Greg Kelser noted on the telecast, and kicked it out to Anthony Tolliver for the big three-pointer, which was the biggest shot of the game, putting the Pistons ahead in the final minute. Andre Drummond had 14 points and 15 rebounds, but he was not on the floor in crunch time, another subplot that we will be checking in on as we go on, to be continued there. But he was great in the beginning of the fourth quarter to kind of pull the team back after Memphis took the lead early on in the fourth quarter when Blake hit the bench. But Pistons seemed to play pretty well in the first and third quarters, but when, like I said, when Griffin went to the bench, they didn't look good at all, and I didn't like that disparity. I would kind of like to see maybe Andre Drummond get some time by himself out there without Blake, and also the same thing for Blake without Andre. I mean, certainly they're going to have to learn to play together. a lot of times during the game as starters and possibly as finishers in games as well, but it would be nice to see those guys get a little space away from each other as well, and that way you can kind of balance out the entire 48 minutes with having an all-star type of player in the post at all times, or not in the post, but on the court as post players anyway. And not more things like that brutal lineup that they threw out at the beginning of the second quarter, which in my mind gave Memphis a chance to climb back in the game and made this a lot more tough of a game than it needed to be with a team that was tanking coming in on a back-to-back road games like they were. I kind of think that Ish Smith belongs with the second unit, even though Reggie's out and Ish is the most talented point guard on the Pistons without question. That's where his talents fit best, is in that second unit. Instead of Bikes out there like he was in that second quarter, I just think Ish can add a lot, especially when you got the athletic guys in the second unit there. I know some of you have been saying that Ish should not be starting and should be with that second unit a little bit longer than I have, but I'll admit I was wrong there, and I will say that you guys were right. Maybe Ish is out of respect to his veteran sense or not wanting to gas up a guy like Dwight Bikes. Maybe you do start Ish Smith, but I mean, in terms of the middle of the game lull, when you're without a lot of offensive options out there, maybe you want Ish Smith out there instead of Dwight Bikes, because he can kind of create some of his own and then also get out on the floor in transition. And the way he prods defenses like we've seen for the past couple of years and gets a lot of things going on his own, he seems like the kind of guy you'd want out there with bad players, as opposed to maybe a Bikes or Galloway, who could be out there with the good players who can create some of their offense and run some of the offense through guys like Drummond and Blake there as well. Just it seemed the Pistons seemed a little bit out of sorts, especially when Griffin was out. And even when he was out there, some of the I know we had a lot of Pistons fans that were, and some of them were texting me during the game, a lot of fans who were watching this game as maybe the first Pistons game they've watched in a long time. And I think the takeaway might be, wow, these other guys in the team really suck, and Blake Griffin's pretty good. And I just kind of likened it to, and some of those guys had some bad games, but I likened it to like an elementary school when that new kid came to school, and you were not only not nervous about not just you playing well on the playground and at lunchtime on the basketball court, but you had the realization that maybe not only you, but you and your friends weren't all that good either, or something like that, the same game that you've been playing forever. And maybe that same kind of thing when you go from elementary to middle school, or from middle school to high school like that, and combine with the kids from the other school. Now maybe I'm projecting on my individual experiences and life experience a little bit more than you guys would. But was back to reality here. It was nice to see a little bit of free throw disparity in the Pistons' favor for the first time. J.B. Bickerstaff, the coach of the Grizzlies, was complaining about that in the post-game scrum, but the Pistons with the 27 of 37 from the line. Memphis was great, obviously perfect, 14 of 14 from the line, including one they tried to miss in the final seconds by Wayne Selden. But for the Pistons to shoot 37 free throws compared to Memphis's 14, just really nice to see for the Pistons there. So hopefully for Pistons fans, the positive momentum will continue as they will be home all next week too, including this weekend, Saturday at home against the Heat, Monday at home against the Portland Trailblazers, Wednesday the Brooklyn Nets are in town, and Friday Doc Rivers, Tobias Harris, Avery Bradley, Boban, the LA Clippers will be in town, and then one road game next weekend against Atlanta, and then three more games at home the following week. So plenty of chances to get up to Little Caesars Arena. Get your number 23 jersey. Matt Shepard said in the post-game interview that there will be 1,500 more after they sold out the first 300 Blake Griffin jerseys, but 1,500 more on the way to the Little Caesars Arena team store. But anyway, we'll be looking ahead to Saturday night in a little bit here on Locked On Pistons, talking about the Miami Heat. But if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, then your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if you want to reach men in that coveted 18 to 44 demo, this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable. So email me at matt_shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes!
A little bit later on, we're going to be looking at the biggest trades in Detroit Pistons history and try to figure out where this Blake Griffin one ranks on that list. But first, the Heat are in town on Saturday night for a 7 o'clock game in downtown Detroit in Little Caesars Arena, the second of a back-to-back for the Miami Heat, as Eric Spoelstra, the coach of the Heat, will be leading Miami into Philadelphia tonight. So a tough plane ride after that, and taking on Detroit on Saturday night. So Goran Dragic, who is We found out on Thursday going to be replacing Kevin Love on Team LeBron for the All-Star game. He's the leader of the Heat. I endorsed that selection of Dragic being the guy to take Love's spot. I actually thought that Dragic should have made the team originally, actually. And if you listen to Wednesday's show, you know that I wanted Dragic on that team, so congratulations to him. The Heat were one of the hottest teams in the league, pardon the pun, actually, there, but went on a little bit of a slide since then. In early January, they were killing it. They were unbeatable pretty much then, but now they've slid a little bit back. They're tied with the Wizards for fourth place in the Eastern Conference, but that is only 4.5 games ahead of the Pistons right now, so I'm calling this a red-letter game as a team that the Heat, in the Heat, that the Pistons might be able to catch in the Eastern Conference playoff standings. Like you said, to get in the playoffs, to get in one of those eight spots, you got to knock somebody off, and obviously this week, and if they keep playing like they did this week, that'll help out, but going from down three games out of the playoffs to one game out of the playoffs, but a lot of work to be done and a lot of time still left, 33 games in the season, I believe, as well. A big load inside in addition to Dragic at the point position. Miami features Hassan Whiteside inside and also James Johnson. I covered the Heat on Martin Luther King Day here in Chicago, and our seats for the Associated Press are right courtside there with all the other top media people that cover the team and the league there in Chicago. So I got to see it right up and close personal. James Johnson is just a load. That guy is huge, but he's still athletic despite being that big. So I'm interested to see the James Johnson versus Blake Griffin matchup as well. Guys that can match each other as far as size and athleticism despite that huge size. So that'll be a fun one to watch. A couple of guys banging against each other like that. Justice Winslow and Stanley Johnson, another interesting matchup as well. A battle of the draft disappointments from a few years back and the disappointment that the Pistons missed out on by not taking Winslow. There, I know Pistons fans love to point out that Devin Booker was picked a few picks later, and he's turned into a pretty good player for the Phoenix Suns, albeit in a losing situation. But you know, it sounds like at the time, Pistons fans wanted Justice Winslow, although there's word that the front office was between Stanley Johnson and Devin Booker for that pick. But anyway, Pistons fans can see what they missed out on there. I didn't mention Stanley Johnson in the open when I was talking about the Memphis game on Thursday night, but he was pretty good in that game, especially down the stretch. Didn't put up a lot of huge numbers, but it was great to see him healthier and fully engaged in that game. My guess is that despite the fact that he's always thrown around in trade discussions, I think he sticks around even after the February 8th deadline. The Pistons kind of roll with him as one of the really core players in that backcourt now and wing positions, given that so much of the team and salary structure and focus of the team is locked up in those two bigs in Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin. Kelly Olynyk is another guy to watch if you're a Pistons fan on Saturday night for the Heat. He played great when those teams met in Miami in early January with Andre Drummond out, and Boban was trying to figure out a way to keep up with Olynyk and was unsuccessful doing it as the Pistons lost that game behind a strong bench performance from the former Boston Celtic. It's a big game for the Pistons on Saturday night. One of the red-letter ones, you would expect a Saturday night crowd would be pretty good, especially with the two-game winning streak and Blake Griffin back in action for his new team. Looking ahead, this really could be, after an eight-game losing streak for the Pistons, I don't think I'm being much of a homer to suggest that this could be a long winning streak for them. And obviously there's chances to lose multiple games in that stretch too, but they could realistically go on a nine-game winning streak when you add the two that they've already won. Miami and Portland on Saturday night and Monday night respectively certainly aren't gimmies, but they should be favored in their next seven games after winning the two that they've already won here at home during this stretch. Just a favorable, soft schedule here, a lot of home games, a lot of teams coming in with travel as well, and really, like I said, should be favored for the next seven until that February 23rd game at home against the Boston Celtics. So there are games out there, and the Pistons need to go and get them. The team certainly will gel in time. Who knows? But who knows, looking forward, if the backcourt deficiencies and the adjustments of Blake and Dre playing together will be too much to overcome. But the chance is certainly there, and the chance is there right now for these Detroit Pistons. We're going to take a look back at the Blake Griffin trade and put it in a little bit of historical context, marking it with the other big trades in Pistons history here up next on Locked On Pistons. But you should be also listening to Locked On Lions, our brother podcast with Matt Derry of Detroit Radio. You should be checking that out every day. But you should also be checking out the other NBA and NFL podcasts too. The Locked On Network, your team every day. Well, it was a big week for the Pistons and a big week for Locked On Pistons as well, as we had one of our biggest weeks in history as a podcast, the episode I put up on Monday night after the Blake Griffin trade was the most downloaded episode I ever did. So thanks to all you guys for that. Please share this podcast with the Pistons fans in your life. And to all the new listeners, I hope you guys stick around as well. The Pistons traded for Blake Griffin this week on Monday, as you may have heard. But was it the biggest Pistons deal of all time? To start off, with apologies to kind of some of our older listeners out there. I grew up on the Bad Boys and was in college for much of the going to work era, so my biases are obviously with those eras. But one of the neat things about discussing this team, for better or worse, is that's kind of really all you need to know. With apologies to Dave Bing and Bob Lanier and some of the legends of Pistons yesteryear, there's not a lot of storied history until the Bad Boys showed up. The Pistons moved from Fort Wayne, Indiana to Detroit in 1957, and they won a grand total of three playoff series before Isaiah Thomas got here in the mid-80s, not even a conference finals to be found in the history before that. So the Blake Griffin trade, ranking these trades as far as the significant ones for the Pistons. Now you can look at it in a lot of different ways. Star power, you can look at it in terms of how they changed the direction of the franchise, and we won't know about how the Blake Griffin trade changed the direction of the franchise until further down the road, obviously. But so I'm going to stick this one at number five right now. It feels like a big moment for the Pistons, kind of taking a big shot and a big swing. Of course, when the NBA is at its peak popularity right now that it maybe has ever been. So it feels like a time that the Pistons are trying to recapture something that's been gone for a long time. So I'm going to stick it right up there. Five-time All-Star coming here, still in his 20s. And I wouldn't call him in his prime because young Blake Griffin in his early 20s is his prime, and obviously that remains to be seen to some extent, but obviously some people would say the injuries have taken enough of a toll on him to say that he's a little bit over the hill. But if I'm putting the list together, I'm putting that at number five right now. Number four for the Pistons history, I'm going to put the Grant Hill trade to the Orlando Magic for Ben Wallace and Chucky Atkins. As obviously Pistons fans know that Grant Hill was a free agent that year after his rookie deal with the Pistons. So Joe Dumars found out that they weren't going to re-sign Grant Hill and he was going to be leaving. So as a throwaway for that and to match up the salaries and to help Orlando be able to facilitate that trade and to save a little face in getting something back for him, the Pistons got Ben Wallace, kind of a no-name guy, and Chucky Atkins from the Magic. Ben Wallace came up with the Washington Bullets, but then had a little bit of success with the Orlando Magic, but then came here and became the Ben Wallace that we all became to love in the several years that followed that. And Chucky Atkins showed promise right away as a guy who could knock down some shots and also became involved in some more Pistons history in a trade we'll talk about a little bit later on as well. So another good one there, and one that didn't seem like a good one at the time, and certainly a bad, sad time at the time for the Pistons there. But Grant Hill went and joined McGrady in Orlando, and Tim Duncan was rumored to be heading there as well, but that was not to be, and Grant Hill's career kind of went injuries through that sideways after that. But that was August 3rd, 2000 was my number four Pistons trade. Number three, I've got one on September 12th, 2002, 2 years after the Grant Hill trade, kind of building on the success of the Ben Wallace and Chucky Atkins acquisitions. Jerry Stackhouse traded by the Pistons to the Washington Wizards for Richard Hamilton. It was kind of a sell high on Jerry at that point, and Rip was getting beat up by Michael Jordan a little bit early on in his career. The actual trade was Jerry Stackhouse, Brian Cardinal, and Ratko Varda for Rip Hamilton, Bobby Simmons, and Hubert Davis. Stackhouse went on and played with MJ in his final season, and we all know what happened with Rip, as you can find his number 32 up in the rafters in Detroit as well. The number three trade was February 15th, 1989, February 15th, 1989, Adrian Dantley shipped from the Pistons along with a first-round pick for Mark Aguirre a week before the trade deadline to the Dallas Mavericks. That pick was traded, by the way, twice more before landing at 19 for the Bullets in the 1991 draft. They went on to take LeBradford Smith. This was a stunner, a little bit before my time in terms of remembering, where I was or having coherent thoughts or opinions about this trade. Was a stunner at the time, though. Jack McCloskey, the general manager for the Pistons, thought the team needed to do something. They were in the finals in 1988, but they had went 8-6 in January before that deal was made. They actually had beaten the Lakers at the Palace in the last game that Adrian Dantley played for the Pistons, and he was the team's leading scorer above Isaiah Thomas for the 2 seasons that he was with the team. Dantley was actually acquired in a big trade by the Pistons a couple years back when they moved Kent Benson and Kelly Trepuka for him, but the Pistons got Mark Aguirre from Chicago, DePaul guy, one of Isaiah Thomas's biggest friends. Isaiah Thomas and Adrian Dantley famously clashed quite a bit for the Pistons, but that move was always believed to be the one that put the Pistons over the top and led the Bad Boys to 2 straight titles. And it also foreshadowed another trade that would put the Pistons over the top, and that's the one that I have as number one on the list for the Detroit Pistons trades in history. On February 19, 2004, a three-way deal. I was in college at the time. The Pistons got Rasheed Wallace from Atlanta and Mike James from Boston. Rasheed played one game for Atlanta after being traded from Portland of the day before, I believe. So the Pistons get Rasheed from Atlanta and Mike James from the Boston Celtics. The Pistons shipped off Chucky Atkins and Lindsey Hunter to Boston. They also moved Bobby Surra and Zeli Rabracha to Atlanta. I was always a big Zeli fan. I liked him. He was a nice low post scorer. I was surprised that his career never really did anything after he left Detroit. But in the trade, also Chris Mills went from the Celtics to the Hawks. By the way, in that deal, the Pistons also traded two 2004 first-round picks, their own, over to Boston, and also Milwaukee's 2004 first-rounder to the Hawks. So the Pistons were the third of four teams to have possession of that Milwaukee pick that year. I was reading about the history of that pick a little bit, and Rodney White was involved. I started to get a little nauseous. It was a gross read, deep dive that I went on. But in those picks, the Hawks ended up taking Josh Smith with that Milwaukee pick, so obviously important in Pistons history for another reason. The Pistons pick became Tony Allen, who went on to have a fine career as one of the best defensive players in his era as well. So that was history. Those were the top five Pistons trades. I put the Griffin trade in there at number five. Let me know what you think. Some of you guys might be laughing that I think it's that significant already, but it just feels like a big one getting a guy who's an all-star caliber player into a situation where they got the new arena and need to do something to spark where this franchise is headed. But Monday on Locked On Pistons, we're going to be wrapping up the weekend, the game with the Miami Heat, and continue with a look at the new Blake Griffin era to some more home games up next week. But you need to get on Twitter and be following the Locked On NBA Network at Locked On NBA Net, and also get on iTunes, subscribe to us there, rate us, and follow us on Facebook as well at the Locked On Pistons Facebook. But thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for a good week here on Locked On Pistons, and enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the game against the Miami Heat, and we'll talk to you all again soon.